I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP-180 Weight Loss. Standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Their Alexandria location is now open. Ashburn, Virginia. And they're taking appointments. I go to the one in Rockville, EMP-180. I'm Jean-Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop.
Hi.
Johnny Cake Sawville, yep. And Eric Bickle.
Morning.
7 o'clock. That means we hit the skins.
Come on, Valdez. Let's lead on. I want to hear the positive one. It's over, right? You're beating the dead horse. We've been playing the sad one. I want to hear the effing positive one.
Well, win on Sunday.
No. I'm to my segment. I want to hear the regular hail to the Redskins.
He needs to be pumped up.
Yeah. I'm trying to get fired up. I am picking the Bucks.
This is a big one.
Biggie. It's a big game. No doubt about it. They face the 3-5 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Normally, you wouldn't think it'd be a big game. But with Skins only averaging 20 points and 343 yards per game, which ranks 25th in the NFL, if they want to improve upon their 5-3 record, they're going to have to handle a Bucs team that, even though they're only 3-5, they're scoring 28.6 points per game, and they're second in the NFL in total yardage. They're putting up almost 450 yards of offense
and
every single week.
Bucs 3-5, Skins leading their division at 5-3.
It's crazy.
Bucks are a 3-point favorite.
Ooh, yeah, look at that.
Listen, I'm rooting hard for my boys, but if I had to pick, I'd pick Tampa. Hopefully I'll be wrong, though. This is the kind of spot where the Redskins might surprise
it
you, though.
It just kind of depends on
bounce
what Ryan
back.
Fitzpatrick you get.
Yeah, which guy shows up.
I mean, he can get in the zone and just look like John Elway and then kill you, but he can also give the ball to you a few times.
Do you know how much money he's making himself this year? He's making $2 million on a one-year deal with the Bucks. He's an unrestricted free agent in 2019.
Yeah.
He's probably going to command a salary, I would guess. Now, he's not going to get like a 5-year deal, but he might
get a 1 year. Or 2-year deal.
He might, 15 million
a year.
Yeah, he might get a 3-year deal with like 30
he's
plus
pretty
million
old,
guaranteed
though.
Money. He's 35.
Yeah, maybe a 2-year deal somewhere. Maybe a 2-year deal.
He'd be the,
million
he'd be the perfect
deal.
Guy to have on your team if you have drafting a really young quarterback.
Right.
And he needs to sit for a year or
he's
two.
Your bridge guy.
Mm. Yep.
Maybe
that's what the Bucks should do. The Bucks should re-sign him, let
maybe
Winston go.
Oh,
and
I can't give Jameis Winston big money. There's no way that's going to happen. It's impossible.
I heard this morning a guy, we've had Ira Kaufman on plenty of times.
Yeah.
He covers the Bucks. He says he thinks that if the Bucks lose this game, go to 3-6, they're going to go back to Jameis.
Hmm. Well, doesn't Jameis have that RG3-like clause in his deal that if he gets injured this year, then his next year, locked in at like $20 million, becomes guaranteed.
Right.
There's no if I'm the Bucks.
Maybe true. I wouldn't play him either.
There's no way he ever sees the field for me again.
Yeah. I don't think they've completely given up on him yet.
They may have a different coach next year too.
Yeah, I think they will.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think Cutter. Would go.
But one of the common themes with the Redskins, and Jay even talked about it a little bit, is coming from behind. And this is sort of an interesting stat. I don't know if you knew this. During each of the Redskins' 8 games this season, whoever scored first. Not only one, it never fell behind, not even once. And the Redskins are one of 3 teams that have 0 come-from-behind victories this year, and that's even counting like down 7-0 after the first drive type thing.
We're down 3-0.
Yeah. Only the Lions and the Jags, who are both 3-5, are like the Skins and have no come-from-behind victories so far this year.
You don't want to be lumped in with those two teams.
And in Gruden's 4 years, you want to talk about being a front runner, in 4-plus years of being the head coach here of the Skins, they only have 15 victories in games in which they've trailed. That's 27th best in the NFL over that same time frame. Only the Browns... we're talking about real dregs here over the last 4 or 5 years. Only the Browns, the Jags, the Giants, the Bears, and the Colts have fewer come-from-behind victories. So if the Redskins go down 3-0, it doesn't look good.
It does not bode well for them.
I mean, I know it's stupid to say, but they haven't demonstrated an ability to really do that.
You know what else they're not good at this year so far is third down conversions. They're only converting 38%,
which, good at it.
Which ranks about 22 in the league. Tampa ranks fourth in the league in third down conversion rate.
And they got murdered on third downs defensively last week.
It comes back to their formula. If the Redskins are going to win this game, their defense has to show up. They need to run the football with Adrian Peterson. And the defense has to make a couple of impact plays. And the Buccaneers will give you an opportunity, in particular Ryan Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. They are minus 15 turnover differential. If they simply took care of the ball with that offense, they would have at least a 5-3, maybe a 6-2 record. But they cough it up too much and they throw too many picks.
All right, we have Jay talking about the team's inability to win when falling behind early.
Yeah, you probably count on one hand how many comebacks wins we've had since I've been here, and it's something that we have got to do a better job of and just keep grinding. And it's just a mindset, really. You know, you're never out of it till the final gun, and we just got to keep playing. I don't think guys played less hard because we got down. We just didn't make enough plays to come back, and that's something we got to continue to work on.
He's also asked about the lack of production from Jordan Reed. Now, Jordan is their leading receiver, but he's only got 33 catches so far this year for 340 yards, only one touchdown. We're at the halfway point, right? So
they don't have one guy projected to have 700 yards receiving this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's on track for 680, but yeah, he's on track for under 700, and, you know, I think he'll finish with more, but he's on track for two touchdowns, you know, and 10 yards per catch.
And then the wide receivers... The top wide receiver, I believe, still in yardage is Richardson. He was projected for like 500 or so.
Yeah.
Tampa probably already has two receivers with 700 yards.
You kidding me? Mike Evans got 786. He almost has 800.
Deshaun's got to be pretty close.
But let's hear Jay when he talks about... I'm telling you, I think Jordan Reed is running some different kind of routes this year. It looks different, but I have no idea what he says here when he's asked about him.
There's a lot of factors involved in that. It's not because he's not playing well. It's not because the quarterback's not looking for him. It's just the opportunities probably haven't presented himself. And when they have, we didn't connect for whatever reason, if it was a protection issue or, you know, an errant throw or maybe, you know, route issue. So the numbers will come. You know, we're not worried about fantasy football stats. We're trying to go through our progressions. And if Maurice Harris is the guy open on the play, we'll throw it to him. If it's Michael Floyd or whoever it is, we just got to get the ball to the right guy.
I'm always worried about fantasy football stats. Yeah. Like it borderline keeps me awake at night.
Yeah, Maurice Harris currently is their leading wide receiver.
In terms of?
Catches.
Right.
How many does he have?
21.
Wow.
He's trending upwards with 21. Guys not being in
Richardson's
the lineup.
Richardson's got 20.
Tampa Bay has
not,
five
Doxson
guys.
Doxson has 19.
Five guys with more than that.
Right. Yeah. They don't distribute the ball a lot. And it's, you know, it's obviously been an issue. I thought I saw some improvement from Alex Smith. But he was asked, he was at the podium. I want to play some of the clips from Alex. And he says in the first clip here, not everything from last week was negative.
I think there were some good things to definitely build on that we did in the past game. I certainly felt really comfortable back there with a lot of things that we were doing. So I think, yeah, there are some things to take from that hopefully we can build moving forward. So I think that's what you try to do with that. Certainly you learn from the mistakes and things that you did wrong. Individually and as a group. But yeah, I do think there was plenty to build on, for sure.
He's very positive.
He stays pretty
positive.
I like him.
I'd be positive, too, if I was making $24
million. I like him. He's very boring at the podium.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like him.
He's very level.
He's very level-headed. I don't think he's BSing you, but he's just giving you standard kind of cliches.
The worst move, though,
not really giving
of
you a
Alex
lot.
Smith's Redskins career, it's not to take the money and do the commercial. It's to tuck in the jersey on that gas fireplace commercial that he does.
That's not a great commercial.
Terrible etiquette.
He has a jersey on, and it says, is it Cypress?
Cypress.
I think that's right.
I can't believe he agreed to wear that jersey.
It's tucked into what? Like
money.
Sweatpants?
Tucked into jeans.
Khakis.
Khakis
or jeans.
This is not a good look.
It's such an old person look.
The best part of that commercial is where the guy walks in and goes, hey, it's Kirk.
right at the end.
Yeah, that's the best part of the commercial.
Good comedy writer on that.
I didn't
spot.
Even notice that part.
Yeah.
I'm just so thrown when I see it. Listen, and I know over the top cheesy commercials. I mean, I got four or five of them. I love them with Crop Metcalf. I'm a big fan. But that's one where I look at it and go, man,
He's above that.
I think so.
Well, that it also tells me they're paying him a boatload of money.
But honestly, there are certain companies that have like iconic cheesy commercials,
right? Like Eastern Motor, yeah. Like Eastern Motors.
I think even the Crop Metcalf spots. I think they've done it before with Larry Michael. I think they're sort of around here locally, sort of iconic commercials.
Hey, Skin Tangibles.
That fireplace one or whatever. I don't think it reaches the threshold.
How much do you think Eastern is paying Alex Smith?
They pay those dudes a decent amount. They have to.
And they give him a car, I'm sure.
Yeah. They have to.
But with the Cypress fireplace, I've never even heard of Cypress fireplace.
Exactly.
I'm sure they're great.
Never.
Actually, since I've seen the spot, I believe they have a spot on Rockville Pike.
You know what? They do.
It's good brand awareness.
But
it's working.
What are they paying them to do that commercial?
I don't know. I have no. How would I know?
But 20 grand? 50 grand?
That's something he's got. He makes so much money. Like, maybe it's for his like a charity that he's involved with. Maybe he just says, you know what?
Surprised.
I'm going to funnel this money to what X charity?
Maybe.
I don't know.
But it probably just took him a few hours to cut it.
It
seems like a spot we would be doing. I know what you're saying. It seems like a spot we should be doing, not Alex Smith.
It's beneath him. It's beneath him.
But a lot of the athletes, not just in D.C., all across the country, do local spots that tend to be
Because they're cheesy, but they're sort of an icon of company.
They do it in every market.
This company,
I still think that Shaq, this is national. Those commercials he does for the general, I'm surprised he does.
He must be like 70% owner of the company. That's the only thing I can think of.
I bet you the general, they're probably worth billions.
They're probably raking in so much cash. Yeah.
Well, Shaq also can do no wrong. He slays me in everything he does.
He's butt funny.
I think he's hysterical.
Now, a guy that does not slay you, I saw doing a bit for Skittles within the past week, Kirk. And he was doing that wackadoo dance. He's doing the floss dance.
No, he wasn't.
No, or maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I don't know any dances.
Oh, yeah?
But he was out in front of, like, the Vikings complex, waving his arms and eating Skittles. I was like, well, he's just throwing more money on the pile.
So it's a national commercial he's doing for Skittles? Yeah. God bless him.
He's kind of dorky.
Skittles definitely has
money. They got money.
He's got so much money.
If you Google dork, his picture shows up. Let's go to Kevin in Culpeper. Kevin, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Good morning, Junkies.
What's up?
Hey, just a minute ago, you were talking about that statistic about comeback victories in the Gruden era.
Yeah.
And it is low, but what you got to look at, to put that in context, is at the beginning of this season, how many total victories did he have since he's been here? And that number doesn't look as bad. You know what I mean? I think at the beginning of the year, he only had like 29 total victories. So in that context, half of his wins were come from behind.
Yeah, but his record's still below 500 in his time here in D.C.
Bottom line is this season, forget about the past. This season, if this team falls behind with their passing game, without the playmakers on the outside, here's the thing. Even if they had all of their guys healthy, just compare them to a team like the Buccaneers. Where would our receivers fall on the Buccaneers roster? Several of the Redskins.
Most of them wouldn't even make the team.
Would be cut.
Yeah.
Jamison Crowder could be their slot guy, although Humphreys is pretty good. I don't know who would win out, but they wouldn't have a one or a two.
Well, what about Chris Godwin?
Right.
Chris Godwin's legit.
He's an emerging guy.
So maybe they wouldn't even have a three. So maybe Paul Richardson would be the fourth receiver there.
Probably the fourth.
And Doxson wouldn't make the team.
And by the way, O.J. Howard's another guy you got to watch out for.
Yeah, he's
because
a stud.
He's an athletic freak, and he's averaging about 17 yards a catch. They got four legit threat, five actually, if you want to throw in Humphreys in the passing.
Yep.
Now they don't run the ball.
And then you sleep on Brate. The backup tight end's pretty good.
Now that's the guy that when Jameis is in, he locks in on Brate. Like his numbers always spike when Jameis is under center.
And that's
the point is this year's team can't fall behind because they rely on running the football. And when you take away that running element, it hurts the defense. By the way, they're just not going to win in shootout type games.
No, that's impossible.
See, I differ from you because I still think that they have the weapons that they could run the routes and get open and execute the plays. For whatever reason, the quarterback doesn't pull the trigger.
No. That's part of it. Maybe there are guys open because I tend to agree with you that Gruden schemes guys open.
Yes.
But
and they're good
the
enough to get open.
The problem is, like we went through some of those stats yesterday, I guess it was. The yards after the catch, yards after contact, the receivers aren't good at that. And that might have to do with the quarterback not leading them, whatever.
Yeah,
they don't make explosive plays. Like Patrick Mahomes is phenomenal. Got a great arm, But sometimes he flings it out 5 yards, and the guys take it 45. The Redskins don't have really many playmakers who do that.
They don't have many, but Thompson could do it when he's healthy, but you can't rely on him.
He's never there. The stat that I would worry about from the Redskins' standpoint is that stat we threw out yesterday about the opposing receivers having the 15 yards or more, the big plays.
Mm-hmm.
Redskins were
dead last.
What'd they call those plays?
Chunk plays, whatever it was.
Well, that was us offensively. That was not defensive. That was not a defensive stat. That was an offensive stat.
No, I think it was a defensive stat.
No, it was an offensive stat.
I thought they were allowing.
They have the least number of explosive plays.
Check that, because they've allowed a bunch of 15-yard plays from wide receivers. Remember that stat we threw out yesterday?
No, I think it was the opposite. I thought it was an offensive stat.
Right, maybe, but I thought. Anyway, I would worry about that with this particular team because of Deshaun. Because of Evans.
Oh, they're
going to
dial up some deep shots.
And because of Howard.
Yeah. I would assume that the Bucs would score around their average of 28 points. So that's why I'm picking the Bucs, because I'm not sure that the Skins, they haven't proven that they can score 30.
Right.
And I think that's about what it's going to take. Now, maybe I'll be surprised. Maybe they'll win some 17-14 ugly game, but that would be weird.
Did the Redskins have one game this year where they hit 31? Or they have not hit 30 at all? I feel like in week...
Yeah, Packers, I think.
Yeah,
Packers had 31.
But that was just an ugly game. Yeah. I mean...
I don't even know how they won that one.
Cobb dropped about 8 passes.
They dropped 100 balls.
Right. It was, you know, muddy and
Hendricks
sloppy.
Dropped one right on the sideline, right in his fingertips.
Right.
I'm psyched we got it. But this is good. I'm telling you, this might be that kind of game. I don't know if the public at large feels as negative as we do about this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the public at large thinks, it's just the Bucs, we should beat them? Because that's how I tend to think. But if you actually look at it, the Bucs are pretty explosive, so I think we're dogs. But I don't know if the public at large thinks that.
Well, the public doesn't know anything.
Well, it doesn't matter.
I mean, the public
probably looks at Tampa and go, yeah, well, they're 3-5. We should beat them. But if they have any brains in their head, they look at an anemic offense that the Redskins have. So you're going to have to score in the 20.
But my counter to that is that this is the kind of spot, though, if everyone thinks they have no shot, this is where they do surprise.
Well, I think the Redskins can win. Look, I'm leaning towards the
Bucs. I think it's a toss-up.
I'll take the Bucs, but if the Redskins are going to win the game, it's the formula. Run the football. So if they can run successfully, that'll bring the score down because the time of possession goes in their favor.
Win the time of possession.
The time of possession goes in their favor, helps the defense. They're more rested. They can maybe pressure the quarterback.
Picks.
And then you get a couple of turnovers.
Yes.
Because in that three-game win streak, they were winning the turnover battle. This is a team that's minus 15 turnover ratio. That's the formula to winning the game. It's not going to be some great comeback, Alex Smith.
No,
they're down by two touchdowns.
If you get in a shootout, it's never going to be that.
You can't start out
and just score every time.
Right.
That could happen. I mean, it hasn't yet.
It's unlikely.
But they're a terrible defense. They've given up 28 points.
The Falcons were a terrible defense.
Okay, we didn't. It was a bad matchup. A bad game.
Bad matchup. I mean,
but that happens.
Yes,
I mean, sometimes a team will play awful, and then the next week look totally different.
Yeah, this could be a bad matchup.
It could be.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We're just a couple days away from Redskins-Buccaneers. Redskins had a three-game winning streak lose. They're still actually sitting pretty. One-game lead in the standings at the midway point of the season on top of the NFC East with the Eagles at 4-4. The Cowboys seem to be fading and falling apart at 3-5, and the Giants aren't in the picture. So the Redskins are actually in good position, but they need to get this win against Tampa Bay. Your thoughts at 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next here on The Junkies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. Coming up on Sunday, the Redskins take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Redskins try and rebound from tough loss to the Atlanta Falcons at home. Cake's not going to be at Glory Days Grill hosting the pregame show in Falls Church. Barcroft Plaza. Hope you can join us. We'll be there at 11 o'clock. Breaking down the game, getting you geared up for Redskins Tampa. And EB was wondering about the mentality of the fans. That Tampa's 3-5, so maybe you're thinking, oh, the Redskins will bounce back. They lost to the Falcons, team that was in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. They got Matt Ryan, prolific offense. Okay, you were due for a loss. Easy bounce back. It's the Buccaneers. Or are you actually looking at this saying, damn, Tampa's got some weapons in Evans.
It's going to be a
dog
fight. It's not a walkover type of game.
Yeah, this is going to sound stupid and bizarre, but I do believe this. I think that the Redskins are kind of, they're almost like the fans. Like, they get high and mighty and feel good about themselves and then have duds. And then they have games where I think where people count them out, and then they rise to the occasion. So I'm thinking, if they're feeling that everyone's counting them out, we might get a special effort from them.
It might. I thought that the mentality of the team, I think it's always been kind of like that, right? Where they get a big win and they lose a game that you don't expect them to. It did feel like the focus and kind of the talk of the team after that New Orleans Saints game, it changed. I just think Atlanta's better. Atlanta, if they played the Redskins 10 times, I believe Atlanta wins 8.
I wouldn't argue. Yeah, I think they're better.
Tampa, I think it's hit or miss. I'm going to lean towards Tampa this week, but I would not be surprised if the Redskins win.
They just need to
pound the football. They need to get Adrian Peterson going.
I mean, it's the complete opposite for Tampa. All they do is throw the ball.
That's
they have 23 receiving touchdowns against just 5 rushing touchdowns.
Don't they lead the league in passing yards?
And Mike Evans is averaging 16.7 yards per catch. Deshaun is averaging 22.4. O.J. Howard, who's a tight end, is averaging almost 17 yards per catch. And Chris Godwin is averaging 12.7 yards per catch.
Yeah.
Juxtapose that with the Redskins' average receiving. I mean,
it's night and day.
The only guy that's even close in that neighborhood is Vernon Davis, who's averaging around 15 yards per catch.
I guess Dirk Cutter can call some offensive plays.
I mean, his defense stinks. His defense is terrible, and you can take advantage of it. So hopefully, you know, Jay is finding ways to do that on Sunday.
But and they do give the ball away a bunch. Minus 15 in the plus minus.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. You can call us on the Hadid Carpet Clean Lister Lines on an open line Thursday.
All right, let's go to Mark in Arlington. Mark, what's up?
Jonks, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Mark. Doing great.
Good, good. I was going to say about the matchups. I think you guys have a very good chance this week. I was watching the Steelers in Tampa Bay game, and your defense is much better than the Steelers were at the time. They got in Fitzpatrick's face. They flustered him. He didn't do that well. If you hold him down to 20-ish points, I think with the new offensive line, they're going to have to go to more RPO, scramble, get out of the pocket type of passes and control the ball better. I just think you guys had about 27-21 skins this week. What do you think?
No, could happen.
That would be surprising if they got to 27, but they might have to.
I think the formula is what JP said. The formula is we need nice, long, sustained drives. I want to take chances and stretch the field. But, yeah, keep the ball away from them. Keep our defense rested. And, yeah, let's capitalize on a couple
A-Wan's
Fitzpatrick
favorite
turnovers.
Offense needs longevity drives.
Those.
Right.
And maybe a defensive score. You get some longevity drives, score 20 points on offense, and chip in with a defensive touchdown, all of a sudden you're at 27 points.
There you go.
And you got a shot.
But maybe
offense needs longevity drives.
Maybe if you
drive.
Just control the clock and have long drives, maybe you don't even need 27 points.
Might not.
You know, 21.
Bring their score down a little bit.
Yeah, bring their score down a little bit. You know, although they can score quick strikes. I mean, one big play to Deshaun or one big play to Mike Evans, that's easy. I mean, they could do that easy.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, Deshaun could get behind that defense. And
I think you're going to see a Deshaun. I think you're going to see a Deshaun shot like on the first, like within the first 5 plays of the game. I mean, they love just throwing the ball deep and try to score that 70 or 75 yarder early in the game.
Especially if it's Patrick to Deshaun.
Yeah,
that's a good connection right there.
They also need to pressure the quarterback. I was surprised they didn't get to Matt Ryan more with the 2 sacks. Early in the season, we talked about it. When they were surprisingly, you know, winning games, we're like, yeah, they're winning games, but they're not getting the quarterback. And then eventually Ryan Kerrigan and particularly Ioannidis started getting the quarterback a lot. He mix in a couple from Payne. You have a big game like they did against the Giants. But the 2 sack game was reminiscent to early in the season. And if they let Ryan Fitzpatrick just sit back there, he might throw one, but he'll combat it with like 3 or 4 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely capable. Let's go to Charlie in Newport. Charlie Brown, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Charlie?
I think the Redskins are going to have to run the ball and control the clock, and then our defense has got to dominate their offense and slow the game down, make it 21-24.
or 24-21.
You can't do the low score first.
Yeah, Charles, you have to be better. You have to give the leading score first, the higher number first.
You can't do the losing
score first.
Yeah, the Redskins 24, Tampa Bay 21.
There you go.
Yeah, but if we don't do that, Fitzpatrick will eat us up.
It's scary to say that and think that, but it's
true.
Possible.
They got some weapons.
Yeah. Well, they've got the number one offense in the NFL, and that's hard to believe.
Number one passing offense. Yep, they do.
Hey, who would you rather have? Let's say you weren't stuck to the Alex Smith contract. Let's say Alex Smith, this was just a one-year deal. And next year, they have a choice in free agency, Alex Smith or Ryan Fitzpatrick. Oh, easy choice. I take Fitzpatrick
in a
heartbeat.
Because Fitzpatrick does just...
heartbeat.
Oh, do you know how frustrated...
frustrated
Redskins fans would be with him?
Yeah.
Oh, they'd be frustrated when he's throwing 80-yard bombs for touchdowns?
Well, and he's also throwing 16, 17
That's fine.
Picks.
I'll take a gunslinger. I'll take a gunslinger on my side single week.
Here's a question for you.
Hold on. He also has ridiculous weapons.
That's true.
Now, who's gonna run a 75-yard route in this offense?
Nobody in the Redskins
offense. No, but Fitzpatrick has at times put up some numbers. He's also had some bad years. But he's at times he's put up some
That's
numbers.
The easiest question you've ever asked, JP. Of course I would take Fitzmagic.
But he turns it over
Alex
so much.
Smith.
What's the best record he's ever coached? I know a quarterback doesn't get all the credit or all the blame for that, but
what's his best record?
Yeah, in other words, when you
turn
it over so much.
Well, let's
that
see.
Hurts
but
your
in
winning
the
percentage.
Modern NFL in 2018, when you need an effective passing attack and you need to score 28 to 30 points per game to contend with the best teams in the league, I'll take that guy who takes
chances. We're just going to ask Bob Google right now what his best record
ever
was.
Ask him, please.
Looks like his best record as a starter was 10-6 with the Jets in 2015.
31 touchdowns.
I remember he's played for a lot of bad teams, too. He's played for the Titans.
He played for Buffalo.
He's played for Buffalo. He's played for the Jets.
It's true.
Yeah,
the Buccaneers.
It's true.
But he's got
maybe so.
He's got 143 interceptions in 139 games.
Yeah. I mean, he turns it over. He gives the other team a chance.
But he's gotten better. In my mind, he's gotten better in the last few years.
I've
heard several quarterbacks talk about this. These quarterbacks that are thriving in their mid-30s, closing on 40 like Drew Brees.
No, he's gotten better.
Brady, they said that after a while, they figured out the league.
They figured out the game.
The skill set is different on each quarterback.
I'll tell you this.
Right, but remember the year that you were just talking about when he threw the 31 touchdowns
for
the
Jets?
The
last game of the season.
He threw four picks, I believe, in a half.
Okay.
And then the next year, he had a terrible year.
I can live with that. You know what?
That's why they got rid of him.
I'm Tom Coughlin, as soon as the season's over, I'm sending a jet from Jacksonville to Tampa, and I'm bringing Fitzmagic in, and I'm whining and dining him, and I'm going to give him a three-year deal. And I'm going to say, Blake Bortles, you stink on ice. We can't have you. We have a Hall of Fame-laden defense. And you're driving the offense into the ground.
Be careful what you wish for.
I would sign him immediately.
The surprising thing to me about Fitzpatrick and all the interceptions is he may be the smartest, like intelligence-wise, quarterback in the league, and yet he makes donkey throws.
Hey.
Well, he just takes chances. He's a risk taker.
Here's a question, though. Who would you rather start right now, all things being equal?
That's what I'm saying. That's the question I was posing.
Right now?
It's Fitzpatrick.
No. Colt McCoy or Alex Smith.
I
heard someone texted me that this weekend.
I think Colt would take more chances.
I think it was Sports Yak.
I brought that up too.
Listen,
it depends on how you value
particularly
that.
Particularly strong about it.
It depends how you value that turnover, because I do think we all probably agree. Would the Redskins have more passing yards if Colt McCoy was starting over Alex Smith? I think we all agree. Yes, they would.
I think they would.
Would they have more turnovers?
I don't know.
Yes, they would.
Yeah. I think they would.
And I don't know. That's the question.
What makes
I know this.
Unless
Alex Smith gets hurt, you're not going to see Colt.
I agree. I'm not suggesting there's a controversy, but I'm suggesting he'd take more chances and he'd throw it to the receivers more.
Believe me, I guarantee you got plenty of listeners right now that'll call up and say, I want to see Colt.
Oh, yeah, there are always tons of them just waiting.
I'm just saying, you'd be just as frustrated, if not more, if Colt was playing full-time.
Maybe, because I think he'll turn it over more, but I think there'll be some more explosive plays. I just do.
Possibly.
Let's go to Greg, Baltimore. Greg, what's up?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, great. What's up?
I wanted to talk to you guys about Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't understand why he turned down a $300 million deal. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be in D.C.
Maybe not.
I don't know that that's true.
Here's why he turned it down.
We don't know.
Here's why. Because he could get more.
Right.
That's why he turned it down.
$300 million is the most ever offered to a player, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, Stan signed a bigger deal.
As a free agent.
So why would you turn that down? He can come to Baltimore for half that.
Because he can get more.
Right, because they got people on the record that thinks he can get 350.
By the way,
I just want to ask him. I know he's a dummy, but hold on. Greg, if your advisors and other people in the industry are saying they think it's likely that he could get offers upwards of 350, and yet they've only offered you 300, why would you take the 300?
Who's going to give him 350, though? I mean, I don't understand.
There might be a team, but Greg, why would he go to Baltimore for half, which is what you posited?
Greg, that also was a stupid statement.
Greg, what if he also wants a contract with opt-outs, and the Nats did not give him opt-outs?
Right,
and
maybe he doesn't want deferred money at no interest.
I mean, there's stuff about the offer we don't know. You're just reading the headlines.
But I know that's $300 million is the most in the history of it.
All right, he's hung up on that. All right,
Greg,
that's true.
Greg, let me ask you a question. We haven't played this game in a while.
Keep him.
All right?
Yeah.
Well, each put up a dollar. I'm going to guess.
What he does
for a living. Greg, your profession, and you may be retired. You were a rocket scientist, weren't you?
No. Do a real guess. All right. Greg, don't answer, okay? Greg?
I'm here.
All right, don't answer.
Don't say anything. Greg was like a beer truck driver, like one of those guys
Are we doing real dollars? Yeah, real dollars. Greg installed above ground pools.
Joan guesses?
This is Joan guesses.
It's a combo. It's like,
he said, why wouldn't he go to Baltimore for half the money?
What did this guy do?
Just going random. Government work. Some sort of government worker.
Oh, man. Are we doing the Joan?
Painter.
No, I mean, I'm trying to win. Literally trying to win.
I'll say Greg.
What do you think? He might
electrician.
Still, electrician?
Okay. Yeah.
It's not a bad guess.
I don't think he's sharp enough to be electrician.
Yeah. Bucky's an electrician.
Good point.
Greg, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. What do you do for a living?
Or what did you do?
I work for Microsoft. I'm a computer engineer.
No, you don't. I don't believe it. You're lying.
I bet you he is.
Where's your office?
It's in Alexandria.
Hold on. Now I'm going to get bitter. How long did you work for Microsoft?
For 7 years now.
He's still currently there.
Greg, can you explain
to me
why?
Yeah, I went to UVA.
You didn't go to UVA.
Greg, though, can you explain to me?
I didn't.
With all that education and all that background, why you would say Bryce Harper could come to Baltimore for half?
That's the only thing I could think. I just said that because I'm from Baltimore.
You choked a little bit.
You're from Baltimore. Okay. What high school did you go to, Greg?
I went to Mount St. Joseph.
Wow. All right, that's a good school.
Bickle just wants to Joan on the other
No, minute. I know. I'm not Joaning. I want to get he went to UVA.
Greg, the answer to your question is we don't know what was in the offer, and he may not want to play in D.C., and he can get more money.
I think the conventional wisdom, by the way, though, and most people agree, all things being equal, he'd like to stay in D.C. I actually believe that. I don't think he's in a rush to get out of here.
Maybe not.
He's not going to make the most money here.
True. Money's more important than where he lives.
Oracle came and knocking on, is it Greg? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yes. Came knocking on Craig's door. Are you telling me he wouldn't go for triple the money? Of course you're going to go.
No, I didn't say that. I was just putting that hypothetically out there.
Greg, what'd you get on your SAT? I'm serious.
I got a 1270.
That doesn't get you into UVA. Maybe 40 years ago.
Well, he's probably 65.
That's like me, going to Maryland.
How old are you, Greg?
I'm 45 years old. What, I got a 1270? I played a little lacrosse scholarship there.
His voice is throwing us
off. Oh, you played lacrosse
there? I'll tell you what, he shocked us. Now
Evie's going to be your friend.
Ask him questions.
Now he loves you.
Ask him lacrosse questions.
He's lying.
1270,
if you think he's lying?
If he's our age range, a 1270 might have gotten you into UVA.
Who was your coach?
Well, plus, he played lacrosse.
Who was your coach?
My coach.
Who's your coach at UVA?
At UVA when you played.
You don't know?
I do.
I don't. What was that, 25 years ago?
I would say about 25 years ago.
Right. Well, who was the coach that you played for?
Turn the radio down. He's so stupid.
He's a liar.
He's lying. I believe the coach back then was Dom Starja, who's like a
legend. Yes, it was. Yes, it was, Dom.
Ah, you didn't know. You're a dummy.
Big liar.
You're a big AY liar.
All right, get rid of him. I'm tired of him. I'm done.
Dummy.
Hey, fellas, T.W. Perry, they are one of the leading building material suppliers.
Thank God for T.W.
Nice
Perry.
Nice pivot, JP.
In the Mid-Atlantic, serving professional contractors across Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. On Thursday, November 8th. Oh, that's today. You can attend T.W. Perry's Contractor College, a day of contractor business management training and installation classes. Sharpen your skills and grow your business with the experts at T.W. Perry's Contractor College, Thursday, November 8th. That's today at the Bethesda Marriott. For more info and tickets, go to twperry.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. We'll go around the NFL momentarily with the Junkies Blitz. Alan May covers the Caps for NBC Sports Washington. Joins us coming up at 8:20.
Yeah, we got to thank the good people from Hollywood Casino. The lovely Kelly and I think Lindsay came from the marketing department. They are opening up the Eatery, Modern Food Hall, and Draft House at Hollywood Casino Charlestown Races. They've got four new restaurants. Plus the Draft House. So they got Mercado, they got Joe and Doe, they got the Classic, and they have Zen. Those are the four restaurants, and then the Charlestown Draft House. So they're opening up all kinds of new spots.
To go along with the one and only sports book.
Correct. And, of course, you got Final Cut, which is a great steakhouse there. The Draft House has 18 beers on tap. So they got all kinds of stuff happening out there. Get down there this weekend and partake and wager at the sports book.
I'm going to partake in a key lime meringue mini pie that they brought in. It looks delicious.
Nice. It is delicious, yeah. Buddy.
I think I'm going with a tiramisu.
That sounds like a solid option, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got the Junkies Blitz brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation. You have a game tonight, and it's a pretty good one. Thursday night football, the Steelers host the Carolina Panthers. Panthers have won three in a row since losing to the Redskins. Beat up on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 42-28.
Had a 35-7 lead in that game, and then Tampa made it interesting.
Fitzmagic threw four touchdowns in that loss.
Steelers.
Yep. It was terrible.
They've
defense.
Been hot. They've won four straight after knocking off the Ravens, 23-16 on the road. They turned their season around when the defense started to play a little bit better. They haven't allowed an opponent to go over 21 points in the past four games. So they've been playing some better defense.
And again, we talked about it earlier. Cam Newton's having the best season of his career.
He's been an MVP.
Yep. He's completing the highest percentage of his passes. I think he's up near 68. He's got 19 total touchdowns, 15 passing, 4 rushing. Not turning the ball over. His efficiency numbers are really good.
And Greg Olsen's getting back in the mix.
Yeah.
And that's one of his favorite receivers.
Absolutely.
Couple of Le'Veon Bell stories. One, he was in Pittsburgh, apparently working out at an LA Fitness there, where he apparently is a member. And two, he had an upside down tweet, which I don't know. A lot of people are like looking at it. Like, what does this mean? I don't even know how you do that.
That's tilting. You have to read it upside down.
Well,
you have to turn your computer,
turn your phone around or whatever.
It's annoying.
Do you think he's going to play with
the
Steelers this
year?
What
did it say?
I tried looking at it this morning and I just gave up on it.
I don't really care about
Le'Veon
Bell.
It doesn't matter what he says. What do you think he's going to do?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would assume he's going to get back so he can get that free agent here.
But now there's a new factor, right? With how they can franchise him and all that.
What's the new factor?
I don't know. It's confusing to me. But somehow they can use still use his third franchise tag on him or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
They're not doing that.
But they're
going to go through this again.
No, but then I heard that they're going to maybe
transition him. If they just want to like stick it to him, they could slap these tags. But I agree with Jason. I think they're just going to let him go. They don't want to deal with it. He's a headache.
And again, if he does come back, but you know, before the deadline, what do you do? I mean, do you play him?
If you put him in the backfield, he's so good at receiving out of the backfield.
I know.
Beyond running.
But you've got a great back right now.
Yeah, but
he's still better.
I know you can always
use
more.
Isn't he still better?
Yes.
He's still better.
Yeah.
So you play the better player.
Well, he's better if he's got a full training camp and a full season.
Right, so you evaluate and you see how he is. If he's out of shape.
I can see him getting hurt
in the
first game.
Well, the better player is Connor because he's putting up historic numbers that even Lev Bell never put up. So at this point, Connor's the better player.
Yeah. I mean, over this the year, Connor's better than
Because Bell's been sidelined.
All right, then
if
you think Connor's better, then you play Connor. I just say play the better guy, whoever the hell that is. If you guys say it's Connor, okay, I'm not going to argue.
Well, I mean, over the course of a career, Bell, obviously.
No, but who's currently better? That's all that matters.
Well, why would you argue over the fact that the Steelers offensively are having their best season ever?
Yeah. Do you think it would hurt to add a guy of his
talent? Yes, I do. We want to know why? Because he's a malcontent, and everyone hates him in the locker room.
Yeah,
okay. And everything's rolling good right now. So why are you going to change it?
It's just another talented guy you can add to your roster.
Being greedy. That's what you're doing. You're being greedy. You have a fantastic offense, and everything's going great right now, and you're first in the division.
You know what? When Connor goes down with an injury, and then you don't have anybody then to fill in for him, you'll be bitter.
I just think you want Bell. If you ultimately face the Patriots in the playoffs, and they often play the Patriots in the playoffs, wouldn't you want
and
guys...
And they get owned by the Patriots.
But wouldn't you want guys who can
arsenal.
Win matchups? And they've been very successful taking Bell out of the backfield, putting him out there almost like a wide receiver, one-on-one against a linebacker, and he wins that matchup as a receiver. And you could still have Connor in the backfield running the football, but have as many weapons as possible. Look, the Patriots brought in a malcontent or whatever, and Josh Gordon, and supposedly have issues. And guess what he did this past week? Took one to the house, went for over 100 yards. You bring talent in the building.
Yeah, but that was different. Gordon wasn't holding out because of contract issues. He didn't refuse to come
play. Get over it, because if you ultimately need a big win,
I kind of agree with you, but I think I agree with Valdez more.
Agree with both. It's silly, silly side.
No. I just think he's right, because right now you've got the best offense you've ever had. Connor's putting up, you know,
but maybe it'd be even
unprecedented
better.
Numbers.
Maybe it would be even better with Bell.
Maybe it'd be worse.
But you could be worse. Look, I'm sure they've already thought about it and they have a plan, but I don't know. We'll see where they go.
All right, let's go to the phones. It is open line Thursday.
You didn't even talk about Dez Bryant.
636-167. He did sign with the Saints.
Dez Bryant goes
big
to the
deal.
Saints.
I'm rooting for Dez. You know what? Call me a Dez Bryant fan, Cakes. I just am. I like him.
It'll be interesting
to see how
that works out.
You root for a guy
who
played for the Cowboys basically his entire career against your Redskins.
I like his skill set. I don't know.
You like a slow wide receiver that can't get separation?
He's had a pretty good career.
Okay. Not in the last 3 years, he hasn't.
I didn't think he had a terrible year last year, considering he's got Dak throwing to him. I don't think he had a terrible year.
I didn't realize why the Saints needed him. I mean, they just got so many threats.
Let's go to Chad.
I guess they got some injuries.
In Arlington. Chad, what's up?
Morning, EB. So I got some beef with a couple of your boys.
Who's that?
Lurch and Cakes there.
Why?
So if you guys forget, I called in a few weeks ago after my Michigan Wolverines boat raced Maryland back to College Park.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
Both Cakes and Lurch, drinking that Paul Feinbaum Kool-Aid, were bad-mouthing my boys and my boy Harbaugh, saying, oh, you're going to get whooped by Wisconsin. State's going to roll you. Yada, yada, yada. And now look at it. What now?
I don't think I said that the Wisconsin Badgers would beat them.
Yes, that was Cakes.
Okay.
Cakes said that. You said Harbaugh was a horrible coach and he should be fired.
That's fine.
Hold on. I think he's overrated. All right.
Come on.
Their defense is carrying
them. You're still drinking that crappy Kool-Aid.
Their defense is carrying them. He's still an awful offensive
coach. No, they're
not. Yes, they are.
The defense is an amazing unit. The offense is doing its part.
They've got the number one defense in the country. The number one.
Exactly.
They barely beat Northwestern. Let's see what happens if they win out and play
Alabama. Look at Northwestern's done. Yeah, you don't watch Big Ten football aside from the PSU
Incorrect.
You tend to follow.
Incorrect, idiot.
No, I bet all the time.
Bet all of them. You think I haven't watched Michigan other than a Penn State game? Please.
Probably.
You're wrong.
Please.
You're
drinking
wrong.
Paul Feinbaum's Kool-Aid for years and years.
What do you
and
mean?
Then if you watch Michigan.
What is Paul Feinbaum's influence over me? I don't even know what he thinks about Michigan.
Because you probably just watch ESPN and you see Paul Feinbaum and you're
go
like,
F yourself. I've forgotten more about college football than you, moron. Oh, go F yourself. You don't know anything about football. See you later.
I don't know anything about football.
No, you don't. Don't tell me you don't know anything about football.
I've been watching football for years.
So have I.
Huh?
So
how old are you? Chad, how old are you? At 10? How old are you?
What an ass.
I'm 33.
33, right.
You're an ass. I watch plenty of Big Ten football.
Jason's been betting on college football since he was 14 years old.
Here's
the reality. Chad is a Michigan alumni.
All I do is regurgitate Paul Feinbaum. Go F yourself. You're
a moron. Oh, yeah. Go F myself.
Hey, yes. See you later. And you know what? Don't ever listen again. Ever. See you later.
Somebody called him out on his BS.
See you later. It's not BS. That was my opinion.
Somebody called you
Let's see what happens when you play Alabama. Let's see what happens when you play Alabama.
He won't call me back when they win.
Bring
Alabama. I'll call back when we got that championship trophy above our head.
He went too far.
I can't wait
for Alabama to mud stop Michigan.
Well, before that, let's just hope Ohio State beats them.
No, I can't wait. I want them to beat Ohio State so they go under Alabama's wheels and we never hear from Chad ever again.
All right.
Why do you keep listening to Paul Feinbaum?
Yeah,
stop regurgitating Paul Feinbaum.
Do that all the time. Can you come up with some original takes?
I don't even know what Feinbaum thinks about Michigan.
Yeah, of course you don't.
I mean, I know he's an SEC guy, but I mean, it's not like Michigan's played a tough schedule.
God.
I mean, Jesus.
I don't pray a lot. I don't ask for much, but I am praying for Alabama to beat Michigan like 41-10. Maybe 41-3.
Well, hopefully.
How about that?
Well, hopefully they don't even get there.
No. I want them to get there. I want them to be embarrassed on a national stage.
I hope that guy dies. Seriously, get rid of him.
Wow.
Don't ever take his call again.
And people wonder
why
we say it's good that Jason's not on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a normal question.
To tell me that all I do is watch ESPN and the highlights. Are you kidding me?
If you want to piss off Jason, just say you don't know anything about college football.
Yeah, that's a real trigger. Or baseball.
That's worse than like saying your mom's a whore.
Right.
You know what I mean? To Jason?
Well, he doesn't know anything about me.
Yeah.
That guy knows nothing about me.
He's just a blind homer from Michigan.
You did say Harbaugh should be fired.
I said Harbaugh should be fired if they didn't play for the Big Ten Championship. I did say that. Yep, I did say that.
All right. We'll take more of your calls. 800-636-1067. Open line Thursday.
But this is what they should have been doing from the start. I'm sorry.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.